West Virginia is a small state in the U.S. where coal mining is the dominant industry. In January 2014, chemicals used to wash coal before shipping leaked out of a huge 35,000-gallon storage tank and into a containment pond. The pond failed to hold. The chemicals proceeded straight to the nearby Elk River and about a mile downstream were sucked into the privately owned West Virginia American Water Company. Instead of catching the contamination, the water company allowed it to flow into the drinking water of 300,000 people in the area. Freedom Industries, the company that built the containment pond, was owned by a man with prior convictions for cocaine dealing and siphoning off payroll tax. After the pond leaked, triggering a federal emergency and some lawsuits, the owner declared bankruptcy and walked away. 3 months after the spill, the water supply is still not free of the chemicals. Today on Wings, Melinda Tuhus talks to West Virginia women about what they've been dealing with, who they blame, and what they want.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
I'm Melinda Tuhus, reporting for Wings. Even though state officials and the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, deemed the water safe within 9 days of the spill, 2 months later, almost no one was drinking the water. I went along as volunteers delivered free bottled water to needy residents in Charleston. You'll hear the stories of two women I interviewed who raised special concerns as women over and above the concerns that every single resident faced, and then three women I spoke with at a rally at the Capitol on the last day of the session. But we'll start with an original song by Mariam Bria, a single mother of three children whose water was contaminated.
Well, I woke up one morning, I turned on the tap. The smell hit my nose, I said, what the hell is that? I got those Charleston tap water blues. And after I drank a gallon, they told me it's not safe to use. So I jumped in the shower, it started to burn. I turned on the news to see if anyone was concerned. I got those Charleston tap water blues. And after I drank a gallon, took a shower, they told me it's not safe to use. Is this freedom we talk about? Is this freedom coming out my spout? Is this freedom going down my drain? I don't know about you, but to me this seems so damn insane. Well, I went to the store, the shelves were all bare. I guess we're sitting thirsty, does anyone care? I've got those Charleston tap water blues. And after I took a shower, did my laundry, did my dishes, washed my dog, they tell me it's not safe to use. I've got those Charleston and tap water blues.
Your full name?
Jacqueline Marie Hill.
Tell me about the situation, how you first heard about it, and what your reaction is.
Well, my first reaction was the morning that the smell happened, or the spill happened, I guess, or maybe a couple of days after. I was in my kitchen. I was getting water out to do some things in the kitchen. And I smelt this water, and it was smelling terrible. And I ran a glass of hot water, and the foam went up with bubbles, and it came back down. So I poured that out, and I got some more. I said, something is wrong. Because this had never happened before.
Was this before or after they announced the spill?
No, this was before. I was one of the ones that called in on the day that the state of emergency was called. So I called the water company, and I asked the lady, I said, what is wrong with this water? I said, something is definitely wrong with it. I said, I drew some a minute ago. I had foam like going up, and all of a sudden bubbles came up, and then it dropped back to the bottom. She said, do you have a glass of it? I said, I can go get one. So I went in the kitchen, and I drew a glass of water. In the meantime, when I was coming back into the room again, it happened. The foam went up, bubbles, and I sat down, and it went back down. So I told her, I said, honey, it's doing the same thing over and over again. Something is definitely wrong. I said, it's smelling like I don't know what, and there's bubbles and there's foam in my hot water, and I have not had this before. Something, I told her again, something is wrong. So within an hour, hour and a half, that's when the governor announced a state of emergency for 9 counties because there had been some type of a spill in the water.
It sounds like the company maybe didn't announce it right away. Is that?
No, they did not. I understand from what they're talking that it had been in the water for at least 2 to 3 days before the company said anything. And when the company said something, it wasn't what should have been said.
Do you mean the American Water Company, or do you mean the chemical company?
The chemical company.
The
Freedom Industry. So, I mean, you know, this has been a hush-hush situation the whole time. Now, when I got back from my daughter's house, I was up there for almost a month. I went up for an emergency thing. I went up on the 6th, and I didn't get back until the 5th of January. And when I got back, this is when that happened. And my daughter, I had to leave. My daughter and her adopted sister said, the guy was on three-way call, said, Mom, said, when Mitzi come up, you coming up with her. We don't know what's going on down there, and you coming up here. So we went up there, and we stayed the weekend. We came back one late Sunday evening because her kids had to go to school. Come to find out, they couldn't go to school.
Did they close the schools?
Yes, they closed the schools. They had to close the schools. I mean, a couple of days later, they announced that something else came out at the same time and didn't announce it. And a couple of days after that, they found that it was embalming fluid, formaldehyde in the water. Like I asked them, I said, you know, that when they said it was 300,000 people affected with this mess, I said, what you all want us to do? 300,000 people to walk around like zombies in the next year or two, huh?
So they haven't handled it well. People don't trust anything that's being said.
No.
What do you think would make you trust that the water was okay to drink?
If they would put the filters on the tubes. I understand that they've got some filters that they can use. I don't know if they're too expensive for them to use, but they've got 300,000 people that they are affecting. They need to get the filters and put them on the tubes and let them run. We turn our water off or whatever has to be done, flush the water, whatever has to be done. They need to get the filters. They need to get up off their lazy asses and go get the filters because they are affecting 300,000 people. And in the legislature last night, health monitoring. They put it in, they took it out. So Misha Poore got on and raised hell with them last night. She said, this has to go back into this bill, as I'm not signing it. So they put it back in. So we will have health monitoring. I mean, what was tested was done on mice. And we are not rats. This 10-point babillion, whatever, they don't even have stats on this mess that was dumped in that water. We are the people here. I mean, we could jump up and move, but, you know, there's problems all over. So why run? Why run from it? Try to stick here and do what has to be done for the 300,000 people that were affected. And when I turned the water on after I flushed the first time, I had to run to my porch.
Yes,
because I got so choked, I had let up the window in the bathroom, and I had to run to the porch to get a breath of air because I thought I was dying. I was choking to death. So, I mean, I am afraid of this stuff. I mean, if it did me that way, just breathing it, what will it do for me drinking it? I'm afraid of it. I've had breast cancer surgery, which I'm 3 years clean. I do not want to add any carcinomas inside my body to reenact my cancer.
So this is something that's a concern for you too all the time now.
Yes, it is. It's a constant concern. If I drink the water, I'm afraid to. I haven't even gotten my hair done. since this happened. But I know if I don't hurry up and get it done, it's going to all fall out. They don't know what the reaction's going to be later on down the road. I haven't taken a bath. I haven't taken a shower. I haven't put in my teeth the soap. I haven't drank the water. I haven't washed my clothes. I haven't done anything with that water except to flush it. That's all it's fit for. I mean, all they've done is lied. You know, this is awful. And those poor kids, they say they could drink out of the fountain. I would not let my, if I had to put 10 bottles of water in his book bag, or 10 bottles of water in a Kroger sack. You don't drink that water at the fountain. Excuse me.
Okay.
You don't drink that water at the fountain. You drink that water out your bottles.
So somebody's saying it's okay for the kids in school to drink
that's out? That's what the governor said. That's what the news said yesterday. And one of the schools have gotten enough water to last them to, she said, hopefully until school is out.
Yeah, okay.
The community, at what school was that? One of the schools here, they have gotten enough water, she said, to hopefully to last them until school is out. She said she's not cooking with it, and their kids are not drinking it.
Let me just ask you, Freedom Industries declared bankruptcy right shortly after this incident happened.
That jackass went and filed bankrupt. And bought another company up under his same name. Now, how stupid can you get? He has no regards of what has happened.
So what do you think should happen to the CEO of Freedom Industries?
He ought to go to jail. He needs to go to penitentiary for allowing this to go into the water.
But, you know, the problem, I mean, that's a problem. But part of the problem is that a lot of times people can do all kinds of things that hurt people, but they're not illegal because the regulations are so lax in West Virginia that people can get away with all kinds of things, and they're not illegal, so they can't really be punished.
I know. It's awful. It's terrible.
So what do you think about, if that's the case, then do you think you would need to, I don't know.
Get some type of regulations for the health and human services of the people that you're serving.
What do you think about if people, because this is a coal-related matter,
this is a coal state.
That's right. So do you think that there's more people now who feel like their health is more important than coal industry profits and maybe they should have some more say?
Well, the people that's doing the coal thing, they're not going to do anything because it's their money. You know, they make their money through the coal. And the hell with the people that they're serving out here. With the way that things going, because there is no protection, there is no guidelines as to what in this stuff that they're doing. I mean, they still got this MH whatever it is in the coal mines. I mean, one man said he sticks his hands down in it. Maybe he didn't get used to it.
Who said that?
One of the workers at the mines.
So he doesn't think it's a problem.
No, he don't think it's a problem.
So one of the legislators was saying that everything changed on January 9th.
It did.
I mean, they're trying to get these bills passed. I was reading about it, that some of the amendments people wanted, I know, didn't get in or didn't get in yet. So do you think it changes people's minds at all about that, you know, because they always say coal is jobs, but there's a lot of other ways to get jobs, and there's not that many coal jobs left.
No.
Do you think people would start to say we need to put people in office who aren't always beholden to coal and are more interested in protecting public health?
You got that right. You got that right, definitely.
That was Jacqueline Hill, a Charleston resident whose water was contaminated in the January 9th spill of the coal processing chemical known as MCHM, or 4-methylcyclohexane methanol. Kyra McNabb lives with her partner in a little house on a high hill in Charleston. Both are disabled. She has degenerative disc disease and chronic arthritis. He has multiple sclerosis and is wheelchair-bound. McNabb gives her chronology of the disaster.
Well, we had been watching the news early the morning of the spill, and we had already drank the water, bathed in the water, and something just didn't taste right and smell right. And we saw on the news that there had been a chemical spill, and we stopped using it immediately. And had started to have to buy our own water, and we're on a limited budget. We had to go buy water because we drink a lot of water, being disabled, both of us. And I had gone probably 3 weeks us buying the water, and then people had told us we could go places to get it, and then we were given the Clean Water Hub number.
Let me ask you, I thought when the government said nobody in this delivery area, the American Water Company, should do anything with the water, weren't they at some point providing water free?
Not immediately. Within a week, they had, but we didn't know where to go. It wasn't told readily where you could go, and if you had your own jugs, you could go places to get it. But by then, I was going 45 miles away to get water at my family's house.
Because they were out of the area, affected area?
Right.
The spill was January 9th, and they said, don't do anything with water. Don't use the water at all. And then at some point, a week or two, they said, you can use it for bathing and maybe cooking, just not drinking, or just pregnant women and little children should. And then they lifted that and said, it's okay. Everybody can use it for everything. Why didn't you believe them?
Yeah, it was like a cover-up. You didn't know what to believe. They were telling you one thing, and then they'd turn around and say something else. Or this part of the government would tell you something, and the water company would tell you something else. So you didn't know who to believe, so we just stopped using all of it altogether. And it had that licorice smell, and just it burned your skin when you washed with it. So we didn't use it at all.
So what are you doing now? Are you using your tap water for anything now?
We're using it to bathe, and that's all.
And you're not getting rashes now?
No. No, but I'm still afraid to drink it.
You said you drank it before you even knew about the spill. Did you have any side effects at all from drinking that water?
We both had diarrhea. Both had diarrhea and just a small upset stomach, you know, but we didn't know what it could be. And then we figured with the diarrhea that we had that quick, you know, when did that spill really happen? How long had it been in our water system for us to get sick like that?
Like, how soon after you drank that water and then you heard about the spill, did you get the diarrhea, like the same day, right away?
No, it was like a day or two before that. We had come down with diarrhea and upset stomach.
Kyra, is there anything that you think could happen to make you feel like it's safe to drink the water?
No, I guess just a certain amount of time that, you know, they've showed that people are okay drinking it and bathing in it and everything. Maybe I'll feel more confident in it, but I don't know what that chemical was. Nobody does.
And this 12 gallons we just brought you, what are you going to use that for and how long will it last?
We'll use it for cooking and drinking. He has to bathe his face in it. He cannot use the tap water to bathe his face. It's like a burn on his face when we use it.
Even now, though?
Yeah. Yeah, even
now. He has sensitive skin.
Yes. So we'll just drink it and cook with it and just ration it until we can get more. You know, not knowing when it'll be safe to drink again. We worry about our health being disabled. You know, what's the long-range outcome on it?
That was Charleston, West Virginia resident Kyra McNabb. The next chapter in the saga is a new law passed when the state legislature adjourned on March 8th. Fueled by citizen outrage and activism, the bill aims to address some of the problems caused by toxic spills in a state whose enforcement of health and safety regulations is notoriously lax.
My name is Lori Jo Magana. I am actually a citizen who has been doing citizen advocacy here, and today I made cookies as a thank you gift to the senators and delegates who unanimously passed Senate Bill 373 in the respective houses, and today I'm giving them to the citizens who come for our big, big citizen party here at the Capitol.
How were you affected by the spill?
Well, I haven't used my water since January. I'm sorry. I live 4 miles from the Capitol, and I still don't trust the water, so I started catching rainwater. I rented an apartment in the safe zone. It's been a lot of energy that I've had to take away from my life.
Do you have a family? Do you have children?
No, I most of my family have left the state. They left years ago, so I stayed here. I have a wonderful job and wonderful friends, and I felt like I wanted to retire here. I have a great job. I work with special needs children in the schools, and it was only me and my dog and friends, of course, my friends who are affected, and there's scary things. You don't know how long it really has been leaking and what is the long-term effects. You wonder, is the water still contaminated that's coming out of your pipes? So I'm still taking camp showers. I'm just beginning to wash my hands and do laundry in my house. So it's been 2 months, and an exhausting 2 months. And for the last week, I've been here at the Capitol for 5 days, meeting momentarily with senators and delegates, and giving them a special cookie, and just letting them know I'm a concerned citizen and I would like for them to vote for a strong water bill.
That was Lori Jo Magana, a Charleston resident who became an activist over the water contamination issue. The bill that passed the legislature and was signed by the governor includes long-term medical monitoring. It also requires individualized permits that will allow greater enforcement and inspection in areas around drinking water intakes. Finally, it creates an early warning monitoring system, which means that drinking water sources will be better detecting what's coming into their intake. Advocates didn't get everything they wanted, and even what passed must still be enforced. And that's a big hurdle in West Virginia. But most people I spoke with said this is a start.
My name is Maya Nye, spokesperson for people concerned about chemical safety, and also with West Virginia Free, which is a women's health advocacy organization. So West Virginia Free is doing holding listening sessions for women in water to hear women's concerns around how they've been dealing in the water crisis. I mean, particularly, I think you're probably aware that after the water ban was lifted, 2 days after the water ban was lifted, pregnant women were then told that they should not be drinking the water. And the water has still not been determined safe for anyone. The water has not been determined safe yet by our Bureau for Public Health. So pregnant women technically still necessarily shouldn't be drinking the water until it's determined safe. So we are holding listening sessions to hear how women have been dealing through the crisis, and we're talking about in all of our public forums.
I thought I read something that the CDC did actually use the word safe recently, that it was safe to drink the water.
The CDC did say that, but the Bureau for Public Health, who has primacy over safe drinking water, the Bureau for Public Health is the one that actually has to use the word safe in order for it to be determined as safe, and it has not yet been stated as such.
So what are you finding? What are these women's concerns?
Well, I mean, people don't want to bathe their children in it. Women who are pregnant don't want to come in contact with the water. I mean, the amount of time that it actually takes to attempt to, you know, boil water on a pot to bathe yourself in, it's a very time-consuming process. It completely interrupts daily lives. And I know most people aren't drinking the water. Some people have gone back to bathing in it and laundering with it, but nobody is drinking the water.
Mental health must just be devastated. Has that come up at all?
This is a trauma that's happened to our community, and it really has been a traumatic event. It's changed people's perception of what they consider safe on a basic human level. So, yeah, it's definitely impacted people's mental health and their ability to cope in this very difficult situation. So, yes.
I talked to one woman, the cookie lady. Have you met the cookie lady dressed in the aqua?
Lady. Yes.
She's a single woman with a very successful career and, I guess, enough money. She's actually renting an apartment in a safe zone, she said. And she just burst out crying twice talking to me, and she doesn't have any kids to worry about, and, you know, and she's not poor, so she can afford to buy the water. And she was, you know, it sounded like, it just must be unbelievable. I mean, I only can relate to it because we were passing out water the first day I was here, and I had one bottle of clean water in the car, and we were gone for 6 hours. And I thought, oh, my God, I can't ask any of these people if I can fill up my water from their tap.
Yeah, they still have bottled water at the Capitol for all the legislators, so I think that kind of goes to tell you something. They've actually, one of the big issues is that they've just reintroduced tap water in the school systems, which many parents are very unhappy with because, you know, most people are protecting their children in their own way, in their own homes. But once they're released into the school system, they don't have the ability to do that. So that's been a real uproar here in the last week.
That happened in the last week. One of the women I talked to was older. I don't know if she had her own grandchildren in the system or what, but she was outraged by that.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I would give my kids bottled water and tell them don't touch anything else. And I imagine a lot of parents are probably just giving their kids bottled water.
Right, and packing their lunches because otherwise the school lunches are being made with tap water at this point. So, yeah.
Is there anything else about how this might impact women? And
yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, this chemical is one of 62,000 chemicals that was grandfathered in under the Toxic Substance Control Act as not having to have proper toxicological testing so that we know actually how it impacts our health. So as a woman of childbearing age, I'm extremely concerned about that because I don't know what coming in contact with this chemical will do to my potentially unborn children. And no studies at this moment in time have been done to actually determine that in any way, shape, or form. So it's really, it's scary. And so we're really hoping that these toxicological tests will be done. Everyone just wants to know, how is exposure to this chemical impacting our health? So the tests really need to be done. At this point, the governor has asked the CDC to perform those tests. I'm not even sure if we know who to trust anymore, if we trust the CDC to provide us with the proper information, because they had given us information that was poorly informed to tell us at what level we should be drinking the water.
When they said one part per million was safe?
Yeah, that was an ill-informed decision that they made based on tests done on lab rats by the company Eastman Manufacturing, who produces the chemical. So, you know, I don't necessarily think that that's the proper test to.
Well, one thing I don't understand is, why is it taking so long to get these tests done that would show whether or not it's safe? And like this woman here, who's a nurse and a scientist, was saying, you know, maybe we'll find out that it actually is safe, that it's really not that toxic.
Mm-hmm. I think funding, and also I think the fact that, again, because it's one of the chemicals that was grandfathered in under the Toxic Substance Control Act, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of political will to have it tested at this point in time.
That was Maya Nye, who works around issues of chemical contamination and with a women's group working on this specific spill. Supporters of the legislation to better protect the water supply held a rally in the rotunda of the Capitol on the last day of the session. The acoustics were terrible, but they said they wanted to be seen by legislators who were getting ready to vote on the bill. One of the speakers was Ann Barry, a physician who works at a community health center near Charleston.
The most vulnerable are the women who are pregnant now and their babies that they're carrying. And I know that only too well from my own work, because I care for pregnant women and deliver babies myself. Looking at the information that we want, that we feel we need for our health, but especially our children's health, we're not worried about getting a rash or something today. We're worried about what if these tiny, tiny amounts of this chemical are getting into our children's bodies every day for weeks and months, and who knows how long. And what's that going to do to them when 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road? No one knows. That's the answer. We don't know.
Physician Ann Barry, speaking in the rotunda of the Capitol in West Virginia, USA. Testing of the water supply is ongoing by outside experts, and so far has revealed the presence of MCHM, even after authorities said it was non-detectable and therefore the water was safe. Several of the women I interviewed in early March still were not drinking the water at the end of March, almost 3 full months after the spill. I'm Melinda Tuhus, reporting for Wings.
To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. And don't forget our daily women's news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of the book Homo Donans, available free online. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.